from the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
Long set, now the pitch. Swung on, blasted. Deep right field, forget about it. Harper in his first at bat at Target Field clears the right field stands. It's onto the concourse. And Harper with a tremendous two-run home run, his 23rd home run of the season, and the Phillies lead it 2-0.
Well, that was fun, and then that was it last night for the Phillies offense.
Yeah, it didn't go the way we thought it was going to
go,
man.
No, it didn't. Welcome back. Midday Show. Hugh Douglas, Joe Giglio. You guys with us, 215-592-9494. All right, we'll continue the conversation about the Eagles. What is your biggest reason for hope as we start the 2024 season? Training camp has officially begun with the players reporting. But, Hugh, we had a game last night. Phillies in Minnesota against a pretty good Twins team that certainly could be a playoff team. And they get off, like you said, good start. Harper home run. They actually had a Trey bloop hit. Then the Harper home run. A Bohm single all in the first inning. Second inning, Bryson Stott, single. And then if you kept watching for the next 2+ hours, you literally didn't see a Phillies hit the rest of the game.
Yeah, that was tough. That was tough. That was one of those ones when you watch, you're like, man, it was a long time before any action was to be had as far as offensively.
Yeah, they stunk it up last night offensively. They did not score again. They didn't get a hit again after the second inning. So the Phillies now have lost 3 out of 4 out of the break, 5 out of 7 overall. So we had that part of the whole thing. We had the game last night and where they didn't hit again. Here's Topper after the game on the offense and where they're at right now.
Yeah, you know, we're going through one of those times when we pitch, we don't hit, and when we hit, we don't pitch. And that's part of this long season, and we'll come out of it.
Well, I think they will too, but there's certainly some reason for a little bit of concern right now, Hugh, because this is a slump. It's a real slump. They're in it now. Remember, they lost out of the before the All-Star break to the Oakland Athletics 2 out of 3.
Mm-hmm.
Then they go to Pittsburgh. They lose 2 out of 3, and now they're here in Minnesota losing the first one. So there's some concern. Hugh, where would you say your biggest concern is right now? Is it the offense that's up and down, or is it the pitching? So Ranger last night, I would say better than he has been in the last few weeks, but not the Ranger he was in April or May.
Yeah, I would still say my concern would be the pitching. I think the offense is going to come around. This is just a slump that they're in. And this is kind of what happens, you know, when you come off the All-Star break for the most part. Like, hitting is kind of not there right now. But I think that they'll be okay. For me, the pitching is still one of the issues that I had with this Phillies team.
Well, and I actually was a little bit more encouraged by Ranger last night than maybe his stat line would say.
He pitched well enough to win.
I thought so too. I didn't think he was bad last night. I just thought he was okay, right? Like he's had a couple bad starts here. He's certainly had, you know, 7 or 8 or 9 excellent starts to start the season. I thought he was okay last night. I actually thought some of the hits they had were just weirdly placed. Like, there was the one blooper down the right field line that he kind of got it in the guy's hands and he just blooped it over, mm-hmm. you know, in front of, you know, the right field line. So there was a few of those last night that I actually walked away feeling better about Ranger. But this offense, like, my concern right now with the Phillies, if they're going to go through a little rut, two things. One, the schedule is certainly getting tougher here. Minnesota, Cleveland, mm-hmm. the Yankees, Seattle. This is going to be a more difficult stretch for them the next few weeks. And their offense right now, it's just very spotty. I mean, they could really use a boost here by Dombrowski over the next week. We're 1 week away from the MLB trade deadline, because you look at this lineup and, you know, they have quite a few guys that are not doing much. Like, when you have Weston Wilson and your guy Johan Rojas at the bottom of the order, it's pretty blah. I mean, you're not getting much offense out of those two.
Yeah.
Bryson Stott has had basically a 2-month outage of any sort of offense. And then there's Castellanos, and you never know, unless there's a tragic event in the world, if he's going to hit or not. So, yes, you know, 6, 7, 8, 9, that's not very imposing right now. Castellanos, Stott, Weston Wilson, and Johan Rojas. Kyle, I'm more concerned with the offense, because once you get past the top four, I'm going to give JT a few weeks to get himself back, you know, into kind of rhythm here. But then, you know, 6, 7, 8, 9, Castellanos, Stott, Weston, Wilson, Rojas, that's nothing.
They're doing that thing where all of the bats go go cold at once.
Yep.
Besides Bryce Harper, I guess. I mean, like Trey's. I shouldn't say Trey's bat's cold. Like he's still batting like in the 340s, but he didn't do anything last night. Bryson Stott looks miserable at the plate right now. Like of all the concerns that I have with the Phillies' offense, he might be the most concerning one. Like it looks like they're in another platoon situation in the infield. And if you can't rely on Bryson Stott or Brandon Marsh against lefties, like you have way too many holes in this lineup for me to be totally confident that the offense is going to be able to carry him through like these stretches in the postseason.
Yeah, I think that's the right word, holes. Like they just like, I know Weston Wilson had a couple good at-bats, you know, in Pittsburgh. Like, come on, like it's Weston Wilson. Like I hope he's just a placeholder until they trade for someone, you know, over the next week or so. Again, Johan Rojas. So where are we on the Rojas train right now?
We're still on it.
We're on it.
Okay. I mean, come on.
Yeah, I'm still with him. I mean, because I'm with the defensive thing, man. I mean, I'm not as enthusiastic as I was like a week ago, but I'm still with him. I mean, because as I look at this lineup and I look at, you know, Kyle Schwarber, he didn't get a hit last night. You look at Trey, he got a hit. But then you're talking about Bohm didn't do a whole lot. He got a hit last night. JT's back in the lineup. But, I mean, it's one of those things, man. The guys that are paid the money to hit, they got to pull their weight. So we'll quit killing the guys at the bottom of the world.
Well, it would help if we had a little bit more umph at the bottom, right? To kind of help out
a little bit.
Yeah, I think we're at the point now where Dombrowski needs to do some one for October. I also think they could use that boost. Like I always think the trade deadline,
that boost bat.
Yeah, it's just like a mentality. Like we added something, we got someone, so something fresh and new is here to help us out down the stretch of the season.
Just somebody to get hot for a week.
Yeah,
to like kind of spark the rest of the guys. The Ranger thing, I came away from last night more encouraged about Ranger than disappointed. I was almost treating that like a playoff game. Like I was living and dying with every single Ranger Suarez pitch. And I'm like, he's back, he's gone, he's back, he's gone. But I'm actually
that's a hell of a way to live, man.
It was. I was like that last night. But I thought Ranger actually looked like he's in the process of turning it back around last night.
I agree with that. Yeah, I thought his velocity was up. Where it was two starts ago. Because I think it was two starts ago that Friday. Maybe it was against Oakland. Remember the last time he pitched was? It was low. His velocity was as low as it's been in a long time. He hit 93 a couple times yesterday. So I was encouraged. Let's hear from Topper after the game on what he's thought and what he saw with Ranger Suarez.
How did you feel about Ranger?
Much better. The velocity was a little bit better than it was in his last couple of starts. I thought he landed his breaking ball when he needed to behind the count, and he put the breaking ball where he wanted to on put-away pitches. So got the ball to his glove side, and those were the things that we were looking for.
I thought he did too. Yeah, I don't like Ranger last night, 5 1/3, 3 runs, 4 strikeouts, a walk. Not great, but I was encouraged more than I was discouraged. 215-592-9494. Hugh, here's the good news as the Phillies clearly are slumping right now last weekend and then this past weekend and then yesterday. The Braves can't get out of their own way.
No, they can't. Who's it? They just got Whit, right? Whit hurt.
They got Whit Merrifield.
They're having a lot of injuries right now, so you're still in a good spot.
Yeah, they lost last. I think they got shut out by the Cincinnati Reds last night. So the lead is still 8.5. I saw a stat this morning on the Phillies and kind of how, you know, what they've done over the last, let's say, month or so.
Mm-hmm.
So the Phillies are now 16-14 in their last 30 games. That's not very good, right? It's just barely above 500.
Yeah,
it's kind of.
Yeah, they're just trying to hold on at this point.
They're treading water in the last 30 games. During that span, the Braves have lost 0.5 game. The Phillies have gained 0.5 game on the Braves. So 30 games ago, the Phillies were 8 games up on Atlanta. They've gone 16-14 since the Phillies. That's not very good. It's just blah. They've gained 0.5 game. If the Braves were as good as they had been in years past, I think that we'd have a division race. But they're not. Like this was their shot. The last month, the Braves had a chance without JT. You know, Ranger, you know, going through a tough spot. Obviously, Zach Wheeler has a pitch. He'll pitch
kind of leaking oil just a little bit.
Yep, and the Braves
take advantage of the situation.
The Braves didn't take advantage, and that to me is a really great thing for the Phillies because they'll figure this back out. And I think the Braves missed their opportunity. 215-592-9494. What are you more concerned about right now with the Phillies? The pitching, and that includes the bullpen, which has been the biggest source of issue for the Phillies for a little while here. Again, last night. Bullpen wasn't really great. I mean, I'm not going to sweat with Marte coming in. It's kind of mop-up duty at the end of the game. They're going to lose anyway. But last night, they did have Dominguez give up a run, and he's been so up and down the entire season with an ERA near 5. 215-592-9494. Pitching or the offense, what's concerning you more right now with the Phillies? And your biggest source of hope for the 2024 Eagles is Plus, your guess is here. Hughes Clues. Four-pack of tickets. See the Phillies, Reading Phillies, and the New Hampshire Fisher Cats. First Energy Stadium coming up on Tuesday, August 13th. Alec Bohm bobblehead being given away that night. 215-592-9494. Tony is up next on WIP. Hey, Tony.
Tony.
Yo, yo, yo. What's going on? First of all, yes, I live in Minnesota, but I was born and raised in Philadelphia, so don't get strange.
Are you going to any of the games this week?
Unfortunately not, because I got other stuff to do.
Gotcha.
However, last night, that was an embarrassment. My neighbors, I do my morning walk, two-mile walk. My neighbors are passing me, they're talking out their neck. They got to get it together. Honestly, they need to get this together. Whatever slump, feeling, maybe they're in love. I don't know, they could be in love. Who knows? They need to get this straight. Okay? Topper needs to talk to these cats, because they need to get on the good foot fast.
Yeah, this is rough for you, Tony. Living in Minnesota, a Phillies fan, and they're embarrassing you, and your neighbors are ripping you for it.
But not only that, I got my Eagles hat on, so we can go to them next. I have, first of all, for everybody in the Del Valle, be calm, okay? It's okay. I'm okay.
Be calm. You're you forget what it's like over here? Be calm, Tony.
Dude. I have a family chat with everybody in the Del Valle. Everybody's losing their mind. I'm the voice of reason, and that's crazy. But look, man, we got this season. We have this season, okay? We got it. It's not going to be a problem this season. Jalen's going to do what Jalen does. Okay, I mean, for all intents and purposes, all of me, just go out and win. In the words of Al Davis, win, baby, win. That's all you got to do is win.
So what's your biggest reason for hope? Saquon, Jalen bounces back? Like, what's the thing giving you the most hope for this season?
I say that we have a firm hand on various coaching decisions with the offensive coordinator and the defensive coordinator. We have no wishy-washiness, no ambiguity, none of that. Okay? Everything is in hand. I think those two positions – look, Nick Sirianni is whatever he's doing, he's being a manager. He's doing it.
We got some wishy.
But as long as we have two guys who know how to run the offense and one guy on defense, we're good. There you go.
Well, look, Tony, and Kyle said that earlier. It is a big reason. They have two accomplished coordinators. So, Tony, man, we appreciate the phone call.
We got a little bit of ambiguity, though. Got a little bit.
We got ambiguity at the coaching?
We got a little bit of wishy-washy.
With the head coach?
A little bit. I'm past that now.
Let me throw this at you guys now.
You don't sound past it.
I'm just keeping it. I mean, you got us all fired up to start the show, and later,
I believe it.
What happened?
I still believe.
Okay.
I'm not wavering. I'm just saying. I just hear certain things, and I'm like, you know.
From who?
I'm just saying. You know how when people say certain things, you hear me like, I don't know if that might all be true. But I'm still optimistic.
Okay.
Yeah.
I mean, well, you're dying on your hill, though.
Yeah, I'm gonna be here. I'm gonna be on this hill.
Hughes Hills are my favorite. Rojas Hill.
I'm gonna be here. I ain't got nowhere else to be.
We have to get the graphics team to like make a graphic with Hugh on a hill with all of his little buddies.
And then as Rojas
with all my bad takes,
yeah, and he's like stumbling down the hill. Hugh's falling down the hill.
Well, note that they're all the worst players in Philly
takes.
Sports.
Well, speaking of, I'm not gonna call it a bad take because I don't think any take's a bad take. They're just all takes, but. Hugh, you did have a take, when was this, April, mid-April, that the Phillies would average 6 runs per game for the season?
Why are we talking about that?
Well, because it's a hill, right? Isn't that one of your hills? I'm just checking.
Not looking good.
It's not over.
It's over.
All right, is it?
Yeah.
The Phillies have to average well over 7 runs per game the rest of the way to get there. Are you tapping out of this one, or are we going all the way till mathematical elimination?
You know me. How long you been working with me?
You're dying on the hill.
Oh, I'm going to be here. I know it's looking bad for me, but at one point it looked okay.
It did.
It looked okay, but it's not, you know. Last night it started off good for me.
2-run home run first inning.
Man. Yeah, I'm here.
Okay.
I'm here. Not that confident, but I'm still here.
At some point, we need to have a funeral for this particular prediction.
I'm just like, I'm here. I'm here. I ain't got, you know, I'm here. I'm here.
So let me ask you guys this, because our last caller brought up the coordinators. Kyle brought up the coordinators early in the show as his biggest reason for hope. Which one are you more confident in? Is it Kellen Moore or is it Vic Fangio? Hugh, if you had to say which one of those two you're more confident in to really do their job well this year, is it Moore or is it Fangio?
To be honest, Joe, I think Vic Fangio's job is going to be harder because of, like, he has to come in and he has to implement a whole new defense and learn the guys that he has. Like, because you got a lot of young pieces. You got a lot of young moving parts. So yep. I feel like his job is going to be harder. I feel like Kellen Moore, no disrespect to Coach Moore, but he's a plug-and-play coordinator, in my opinion. Only thing that he has to do, in my opinion, is get that offense on the same, everybody on the same page. That's it.
Yeah, to that point, Moore doesn't have to make many decisions on playing time, right? They have to decide right guard. That's obviously going to be a training camp battle with Mekhi Becton and Tyler Seam. But the other positions are set. Like, we know right now, the two wide receivers, they'll figure out wide receiver three, I guess Paris Campbell. But, like, the other positions are all set. Defense, Vic Fangio has a lot of decisions to make on who's going to play, right? So who are the two outside corners? I guess Slay and Kelee Ringo or Isaiah Rodgers or Quinyon Mitchell. So he's got to make a big decision there.
Yeah.
He's got to decide on the slot corner. I'm guessing the two safeties are Gardner Johnson and Blankenship, but I'm not sure how long that lasts with each of them having injury issues at times. Who are the linebackers? Like, who are the two starting linebackers? Yeah. Devin White and Zach Bond?
Yeah.
Do you rotate up front?
Yeah, all of that, man. It's one of those things where I feel like the tougher decisions are going to be made defensively because you got to find guy. You don't know what you got on that side of the ball. Like I said, you got pro bowlers on that other side, like a lot of them. Like when you talk about the number of pro bowlers on both sides of the ball, it's easily outweighed by the offense. So yeah, you just go out there, you put them in position. The hardest thing that I think Kellen Moore is going to have to deal with is who gets the ball this week.
Like, in terms of the weapons,
who is going to be featured this week? I think in order for this team to be successful, like we all know, we throw on the rock at some point. But some games, you might want to feed Saquon. You might want to make Saquon the go to early on, and then you know as the game progresses, then you want to get AJ involved or the Slim Reaper involved or Dallas Goedert. I think that's the biggest problem.
Speaking of coordinators and the job they have to do and the work they have to do, have you looked up today? Do you see what's on TV in the studio?
I've been kind of looking at it a little bit.
So on I don't know, whatever channel we have on here, I guess NFL Network.
It's NFL Network,
yeah,
right? Yeah,
they're replaying the Eagles-Bucks playoff game. Kyle doesn't look upset over in his area. I don't think he's watching this.
No, he's not watching it.
Whatever Vic Fangio does will be – the tackling on defense in that playoff game early on last year might be the worst thing I've ever seen. I'm like, they just walked down the field. That was awful. Kyle, who do you think is the bigger challenge this year as a coordinator? Well, Kellen Moore or Fangio?
The bigger challenge is clearly Fangio. I mean, Kellen Moore's job.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking Spunks puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
It should theoretically be easy. Like, season was more of an impressively bad work by Brian Johnson than anything else.
But he also is putting a new offense in. At least they've been kind of running the Fangio way anyway.
But
it's just
it should be the easiest thing in the world to build an offense around the talent that they have. Like, Vic Fangio is an uphill battle with, one, like you said, who even ends up starting,
right,
and two, making that look like put a decent product out there on the field. Like, Kellen Moore's job should, in theory, be the easiest of anyone
so
on the team.
I understand that, but he also has it's almost like grading on a curve. He needs to be an A+ for us to feel good about it. Like, you're saying top three offense. If Vic Fangio gets the defense back to respectability, we'll all be like, all right, that's fine, and that's good enough for this year.
Well, I think going from, like, 7-3 on offense isn't as hard as going from, like, 32 to maybe 15 on defense.
And I think those numbers could be where they end up.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, I think I have more confidence in Fangio because he's done it for longer, but he also has a bigger challenge. Jeff in Princeton. What's up, Jeff?
Jeff.
Hey, guys, how you doing? I want to run the gamut here and do Phillies, Eagles, Olympic basketball, and then an Olympian, if that's okay.
You got it, Jeff.
All right, so Phillies, what was the guy's name who pitched a no-hitter down the stretch and they had a sixth starter for a while last year?
Michael Lorenzen.
Oh, yeah. So I would like to see them do that again. I really feel like the top three, you know, are going to have some tired arms here. I mean, they've pitched late into games a lot, and you know, I'd like to see them give them all an extra day of rest down the stretch. I mean, maybe with Turnbull coming back, hopefully, as much as I don't like Walker, you know, and then maybe acquire somebody, I'd like to see them, you know, do that again.
Jeff, I do too, and I think there's a really good chance they will do that in August and maybe early September. My guess, because of all the names you mentioned, like between Walker, Turnbull, and even Tyler Phillips, my guess is they probably won't acquire someone, but they'll just slot whichever one of those three is pitching the best into that kind of role this season.
Yeah, I hope so, because I think maybe that's one of the things that was wrong with the Ranger. You know, you guys were talking about his velocity earlier.
He and Sanchez are approaching innings levels that they've really never been at. So yeah. I'd be surprised if they don't do what you and I are talking about, because they're going to win the division. They're going to be in the playoffs. Like, they have to get these guys ready for October. That's the whole thing now.
Yeah, exactly. And with the Eagles, I mean, the guy from Minnesota was sort of alluding to this, but I think Sirianni, I mean, as sort of weird as it was when we first heard about Sirianni's new role, I think that, you know, it's actually the right move. I mean, I just think he's best when he's going around using his personality, which is his strength. I mean, I don't think he's a great tactician by any means, but, you know, just sort of picking guys up and motivating guys, and hopefully he'll be able to do that this year.
Well, that's the plan. And you know what? When they were at their best with him, Jeff, that's what they did. I mean, you go back to 2022, when Steichen, now we know, realize that was obviously a big part of the offense, and Gannon was good with the defense. That's what they're trying to redo again here in 2024. All right, Jeff, what do you think about Olympic basketball?
Well, when you were rattling off the scores earlier, I just think I don't think this team is better than the Dream Team, but we have to remember the state of world basketball at that time. Like, you know, that team, the Dream Team, really inspired the Nowitzkis, and now we're into the second generation of players like Jokic, and, you know, and so...
And Luka, yeah, for sure.
Yeah, I don't think it's fair to compare, really, you know, those scores versus what they face these days. But I definitely do not think that this team is better than that team, but I think we have to, you know, take it with a grain of salt.
Yeah, it's relative. The competition is better now.
Yeah, because now you have more players that play the NBA style of basketball that are going home to play for their country. That's the point that I was going to make, is that, you know, you're talking about, like, overseas players that were playing overseas, and Michael Jordan and those cats came in there just boat racing.
Yeah.
It's not like that anymore.
Yeah, exactly. And finally, the Olympian. Did someone say Mark Spitz?
Mark Spitz has not been guessed
yet. That's a good guess.
It's a very good guess. Jeff, that's not it, but it's a very good guess. All right, 215-592-9494. All right, let's get to the phone lines coming up next. More on the Phillies here in terms of what's the biggest concern, the pitching, including the bullpen, and Ranger, who last I thought was better, but still not quite back to where he was. We'll let you hear what Ruben Amaro said earlier today on why we should be optimistic about Ranger getting back to that level. Your biggest concern right now, is that the pitching or the hitting with the Phillies, and of course with the Eagles? What is your biggest reason for hope? Coordinators, Saquon Barkley, a bounce back from Jalen Hurts, or do you share the reason Hugh had earlier, that Jalen Hurts and Nick Sirianni are going to patch this thing up? Boom.
Love fest.
Love fest. It's all going to work out.
It's
going to
be a love fest. Nothing but love up in this piece.
I don't give a shit.
Just figure it out, Nick. Figure it out.
That's all you got to do. Figure it out.
215-592-9494. Plus, your next clue for Hugh's Clues. We're giving away today a 4-pack of tickets. Reading Phillies coming up Tuesday, August 13th. The first 2,000 people there will receive an Alec Bohm bobblehead. We'll give you a second clue for Hugh's Clues coming up next. 215-592-9494. It's the Midday Show. Sports Radio 94 WIP. Recently, I visited my friend Dr. Rafi, the premier hair restoration specialist in the Delaware Valley, and I saw the cutting-edge surgical options he offers all genders, including Artis IXI, Robotic FUE, Neograft, and the non-surgical Almatet. Dr. Rafi will design a custom solution for you. So stop hiding your hair loss. Call Dr. Rafi now, 215-800-9100. That's 215-800-9100, and get your confidence back. Or visit PhillyHairMD.com. That's PhillyHairMD.com.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.